Hi, and welcome to Eastbourne's Business Podcast. Now, today we've got a very special guest, and as usual, there's no point in me introducing you. So go ahead, tell us who you are and basically what your business is.
Hi, I'm really happy to be here. My name is Lucy Rowett, and I am a sex and relationship coach and a sex educator.
Okay, well, I have to say, that sounds like quite an interesting job title.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, I can imagine it is. Okay, so it's going to be interesting to try and talk about that in a non-salacious way.
Oh, yes.
Right. And give us an idea of how you've helped people.
Okay, so where do I start? I am a certified sex coach, and I could call myself a clinical sexologist. They are real professions. I trained with one of the pioneers of sex coaching, Dr. Paddy Britton, through an international training program. And a sex coach, it works slightly differently to sex therapy or psychotherapy. The main aim of it is to help people with sexual concerns, difficulties in their sex lives, difficulties in their relationships, and helping them in a goal-oriented, holistic, and person-centered way. It's what we call the fusion of clinical sexology, or the what, and coactive coaching, which is the how.
Right, okay. So, I mean, that sounds really sort of medical and clinical and that kind of thing, if you see what I mean. So, which is great, because people have to understand that this is actually a science.
It is. Many people don't know that sexology is actually a real field of study.
Right.
Even if you Google sexology, you'll find the Wikipedia entry. There's a whole history of sexological pioneers and researchers. It is a field in its own right. It's not a derivative of psychology or biology. It's definitely its own distinct field.
Right. And so how did you get into this, Lucy?
Very good question. I always get asked this. So I met my mentors, I think it was 2 years ago, at an introductory talk. And I knew that I wanted to train and do something I was passionate about. I guess I was my mid-20s. I was recovering from a very chronic health condition. And I had a background in doing tantra workshops and sort of spirituality workshops. And I was doing freelance writing and blogging. I covered their introductory talk and I realized I really liked them. I really resonated with what they did. So I decided to do the training. So the training was mostly correspondence, but we had to do live training in Poland as well. So I got my certification last October. And so now I've been in a private practice, so to speak. So I work with people face-to-face, either in Eastbourne or Brighton or via Skype, because I have clients from many different places. I've had clients from Los Angeles, in India, different parts of the UK.
Oh, wonderful. And of course, we like technology and being able to use tech in order to further your business and, well, really your practice. And so that's fantastic that you're working all over the world.
Yes, that's the beauty of my work, is that I can work with people from all over the world. And I have to be quite specific and clear with people when I say my work is talk only and it's fully clothed.
Yes.
But, you know, I do have many colleagues who do work with touch and do work with body work. There's many different fields of body work that can work with sexuality, and I completely endorse and respect that. But what I offer is talk only.
Right. Okay. So what you're doing, I'm guessing here, so, you know, let's fill in the gaps and the blanks, is that you're helping people to feel, what, more confident about themselves and about situations and things?
Yes, more confident in their bodies. Basically helping people with their sex problems, because so many people are suffering in silence with problems with their sexuality, and it's impacting their relationships, it's impacting their confidence. It has a knock-on effect when there's a problem in the bedroom.
Right. And is someone's sexuality something that comes up quite often, or is it more to do with a physical problem, perhaps, that's manifested because of a mental blockage or something like that?
That's the beauty of it. So often the problem that someone will come to me with may not be the actual problem at all. There's something underneath it. So I work holistically. I work using the MEBS model, coined by Dr. Paddy Britton, which is mind, emotions, body, energy, and spirit. And the form of sexology and sex coaching that I was taught is holistic. So we're working with the full person. So it's whenever there's a sexual concern, it's never just physical or mental or emotional. There's usually, it's like the tip of the iceberg. There's many different factors involved.
Yes, yes, I can imagine. So if there are issues where somebody just doesn't feel confident within themselves, you'll help them by talking, well, I guess backwards, away from the problem?
Oh, I'm just trying to think. So what I do is I generally do a client assessment and an intake. So I do a basic sexual history from them, because often what problem they may be coming to me with, there may be a background story that they haven't told me, that it may come up in the form. And often, sometimes when they're talking to me, I'm thinking, oh God, what can I do? And then you keep probing and you keep coaching, and suddenly things come up and you think, ah, okay, I think I can see what's the problem here. And then you can give some targeted suggestions or give them some homework assignments. A big key of the sex coaching process is homework assignments.
Oh, right, okay. So give us an example of one of those.
I'm very aware of what I say. This is, we are on air. So a lot of homework assignments can be mindful self-pleasuring. So we are a big advocate for self-pleasuring and masturbation. This may sound very salacious, but we believe that masturbation can help with many different kinds of sexual concerns, because people are not having a very healthy relationship with themselves and their bodies. Or it can be trying different, reading different books, trying different meditation exercises. It can be going and buying specific toys. It could be, I'm just trying to think, there's some DVDs that I recommend. But a lot of these things are actually practicing what we've been exploring in the session at home, either by themselves or with their partner.
Right. Okay. So that's kind of exploring their selves and their physicality.
Yes.
And try to make sure that they actually understand who they are.
Yes.
Physically, before actually moving on, I guess, to sort of really sort of having relationship, a physical relationship.
Mm-hmm.
With somebody else. I mean, otherwise, you know, I guess that from a lot of people's experience, it's all very much, you know, hit and miss. You know, as you're younger, who knows what's going on? It's all just kind of happens for some people. For most people, maybe, I don't know.
I would say that we expect good sex to happen all by itself, because, you know, films will depict sex in a very unrealistic way, in
yes.
which, you know, it magically happens. They instinctively know how to what each other wants. The woman will climax within 5 seconds.
Okay.
It looks beautiful. There's no funny noises. There's no... you know, there's no one going, oh my God, my leg's really hurting. It all happens by magic, and we expect that to happen in the bedroom. And we think that if sex isn't happening by magic and that it isn't flowing, there's something wrong with the relationship. And often there isn't. It can be a lot of internalized shaming. It can be not being able to communicate what you want and what you don't want. It can be a huge thing is performance anxiety, especially for men. And when they, you know, I keep hearing that a lot, performance anxiety, because sex is a performance.
Yes.
It's a performance. It shouldn't be a performance. It should be about what feels good to both of you. But men especially are so worried about performing that it takes all the enjoyment out of them. It brings a lot of anxiety into the bedroom, and it's not satisfying.
Well, yeah, I can understand what you're saying. Yeah, I see what you mean. And I guess that for a lot of people, you've got a problem where, especially with technology nowadays, and well, the internet and the accessibility of, as you were saying, you know, films making it look very simple and very natural and everything else, there has to be some sort of issue really growing there, because anxiety's got to be a massive problem here.
I would say it's a very big problem, especially now we do have the very free access to internet pornography. And I'm not anti-pornography at all, but that does have a part to play in that people can feel they have to act a certain way, do a certain thing, so that the whole bedroom is a performance and yeah. it's an act that you have to do rather than doing what feels good.
Well, yeah, and not realizing that that's the important thing.
Yeah.
It's about, you know, people coming together and being happy with themselves.
Being
and
happy with
themselves. Yeah, with each other.
Exactly.
That's interesting. Yes, of course. And, it, you know, as you say, with the internet nowadays, it's just really, I can imagine being really difficult. Again, when I was growing up, there wasn't the internet.
No. But then on the flip side, I am not bashing the internet, because there's so many resources out there that promote positive sexuality and healthy sexuality. There's so many podcasts, educational resources, websites, articles, ebooks. So I would say the internet is a double-edged sword, in that it, you know, I just like social media, can be a double-edged sword. Social media can be very damaging. It can impact your mental health in a negative way. But on the flip side, you can connect with people more. You can find the people who think the way you do. The same with sexuality.
Well, that's very true. And I think with the social media side of things, you know, the mental health issues really are starting to come to the forefront, I think. This FOMO, or the fear of missing out, you know, that's the classic thing, isn't it, right now? And we're all guilty of it. You know, how come everyone else is having such a wonderful life and I'm not? And that translates to what you help people with as well. How come everyone else is having such a good sexual relationship and I don't feel I am?
Exactly. Or how do all these people have perfect bodies and don't have any wobbles or stretch marks, don't have any health problems at all? Why is everybody so beautiful online? Why can't I be like this?
Well, yes, absolutely. And I think that, that probably really is the nub of all of this, because we've got a real problem in terms of this becoming worse possibly in the future. And you're helping people to sort of be able to cope with that.
I think so. But I don't know if I see it becoming worse. I honestly can't predict the future at the moment, especially with certainly in the US, in the USA right now, they've released some very restrictive laws around sexual freedoms. And it's difficult because there are a lot of very conservative people who are very against sexual expression. And so I'm not really sure what the future is. I think at the moment things seem to be becoming more polarized. We have people who are sex positive advocates becoming more vocal, being more active in positive sex education. And then you have the more conservative people who are very anti-sex education, anti any kind of sex positivity, who are influencing the lawmakers trying to clamp down. So I'm not sure what the future is. But then if I think of how there seems to be a backlash against social media, where more people are pulling away from social media, I would say I'm hoping, maybe I'm being optimistic, and that we're starting to move towards a more sex-positive future. I hope so, especially as the UK government now made it mandatory for relationship and sex education to be taught in all high schools. Right. We don't know what the content of that will be, but I see a slow change happening, maybe.
Well, yeah, and I think, again, you know, our children who are growing up nowadays are having, you know, all sorts of troubles with, you know, technology again, you know, really impacting how they see sex and, and how they expect, I think is the phrase here, isn't it, how they expect sex to be.
I would say yes. Having volunteered with young people, they will see things on social media and online and think, oh, this is how I have to be, this is how I have to act. And I see that. I feel that's very sad. But then, you know, I'm only in my late 20s. I remember when I was a teenager, we didn't have as much social media, and there was still that expectation that girls had to act in one way, boys had to act in another way. And if you didn't act in that way, you weren't popular, or you were, a failure.
Yeah, sure. Or something different. And yeah, exactly.
Or there was something wrong with you.
Right. And I'm sure that still happens now. And that always has, to a certain extent. But again, technology makes it more difficult to be able to cope with, I think, from that.
I would say so. Again, I'm not anti-technology. I use a lot of technology in my life. I'm very pro-technology.
It's, I know what you mean.
I'm on a podcast. It's using it with wisdom and with discernment, I would think, and also educating young people and adults, because adults need sex education too.
Well, they do. You don't just learn it once and that, or even if you do learn it, you may not learn it, but you don't just experience it once and that's it.
No. I think of the analogy of, if you want to learn how to cook well, you don't just go on what your mum taught you when you were 5 or when you were 10. You buy cookery books, you go on cooking courses, you experiment in the kitchen, you try different ingredients, and you know that you're always going to be learning, and you're happy to learn because you just love good food. Same with sex.
Yeah.
You can't just go on what you learned as a 15-year-old. You want to keep learning, reading books, trying out new things, and communication is the biggest key.
That is a really good point. The analogy with cooking, I think, is perfect, because, again, yeah, you're not going to be perfect, you know, a chef, once you've just because you know how to boil an egg.
Oh, exactly.
Right. Okay. So that's brilliant. So to sum up then, let's have a think about your practice. What sort of things are really, I mean, is it a trend-based practice? So in other words, do you see more of a particular issue happening at a particular time, or have you seen the rise of a particular issue happening?
That's a very good question. I haven't seen any trends at the moment. I do certainly have more men approaching me than women. And I would say that these men are feeling very anxious, and they're feeling that there's something wrong with them, and they're feeling a real anxiety and insecurity. Maybe it's because men can be more proactive about their sexuality than women. And I think that also comes down to a lot of shaming that women are taught through society and through growing up. So I certainly have men more approaching me more. As for trends, certainly I have, someone interviewed me for a magazine a few weeks ago about dating, sex and relationships in the era of hashtag Me Too, which I guess you know about.
Yes, yes.
And how, whether people were changing the way they were interacting sexually and in dating and relationships. I haven't seen anything yet, but maybe it's because it's my experience as a heterosexual woman, so I'm used to hearing my girlfriends and other women talking about crappy dating and sexual experiences. So I would say maybe it's a little bit early, but maybe come back to me in a year's time and I'll give you a different answer.
Yeah, because that's an interesting point about the Me Too, because of course that really, I would think, and this maybe this is why you're having, I don't know about your cases, obviously individually, but perhaps it's something to do with it. Because if you think, like from my point of view, if you, you know, whatever that's worth, thinking about how in past relationships or past, you know, trying to start a relationship or anything else, could that have been construed in any way, shape or form in the wrong way?
I know.
And in future, that is, you know, it's only going to get worse, really, because maybe people didn't realise. So who knows what will come out of the woodwork?
I mean, certainly I think the beauty of Me Too is that it's really exploded the whole theory and the idea of consent. And consent isn't just yes means yes and no means no. It's so nuanced. Yes. And, you know, the most common thing is where someone will not speak up during an encounter because they don't want to be rude or they're too embarrassed. I would say this happens with both women and men, where one partner is being very, what's the word, not assertive, but, oh, yeah, I'm really in the mood, I really want to do this. And the other partner doesn't really know how to say no, doesn't feel able to say no. And so the other partner thinks there's nothing wrong and nothing bad has happened. But whereas the other partner is thinking, I feel violated, I did not like this.
Yes, which is terrible, yeah. You know, to think of that. I'm just thinking, I suppose with the Me Too, I was thinking more on the power imbalance.
Oh, that's another whole juicy ball game of power imbalances, where people don't quite realise that it's not just about yes means yes and no means no, but it's about that if somebody is coming on to you and they are in any kind of position of power, whether it's power to control your finances or your career, that is going to impact your ability to refuse or to accept. So you may not refuse because you don't want to impact your career, whereas the person in power thinks, oh yeah, they're really into me, they didn't say no, they seem really into it. And this has happened within many different fields within the business world, I'd say within, you know, even the yoga world, there's been lots of yoga teachers that have came out as being abusive to their followers.
Well, yeah, I think so, because I with yoga and other sort of treatments like that, or not treatments, but, you know, the other things like yoga,
mm-hmm.
You're talking about being a kind of community within mm-hmm. that, aren't you? You know, everyone's exercising together sort of thing as a whole, and people follow. So that's interesting, yeah, because I think that's the point. There is a difference between being in a relationship and having the issue of that one partner basically, you know, pushing mm-hmm. the other partner into doing something that they may not feel like doing right now,
mm-hmm.
and a boss or somebody else in power actually, yeah. you know, really manipulating that person.
I know, and it's a very fine line. I would say it's very nuanced. You know, if I'm thinking of my experiences of the amount of women I know who've had bosses or not teachers in schools, but teachers in any kind of other capacity hitting on them, it's very, very common. It's very prevalent. And it makes me feel very angry. And something that I was at a conference about a month ago, and one of the presenters was giving a talk on her field of practice, and she said that a good body worker needs to understand not just consent, but power dynamics. And certainly with Me Too and other leading figures within entertainment, within business, within alternative communities, they are not understanding that when they have a huge following of people who adore them, there is a power dynamic there.
Mm.
And they're exploiting that power dynamic, whether they're aware of it or not.
So can you imagine what's going to happen with all these pop stars from the 60s and 70s?
You know, I think it's one, you know, one thing that frustrates me is when there's sort of a backlash against Me Too and people saying, oh, women are using it as a reason to just have a go at men. And I don't see it that way. I see it as people speaking up and saying, you know, what we were taught around sex and what we were taught around consent and boundaries was not enough. And it's not enough to, you know, it's not even in the case of rape or assault. It's people having really crappy sexual relationship experiences, and they didn't feel able to speak up.
Right, absolutely. Okay, well, that makes sense. Well, Lucy, we're running out of time now. So, I mean, it's been fantastic talking to you about that, about your practice. So, to sum up, what would you say your practice really is for? What's the main takeaway or the main reason why people should come to you for help? Because maybe they don't really understand why they should come to see somebody like you.
I would say that we would invest in our fitness. We would invest in our physical health. We would invest maybe in our emotional health by going to a therapist. We'd maybe hire a personal trainer or go to the gym. We'd invest in eating the right food. We would invest in our education. We'd invest in our trainings, but we don't want to invest in a key part of our happiness, which is our relationships and sex lives with our partners. You know, I think that everybody deserves to have more than just sex, functional sex that does the job, but nobody really feels very satisfied or happy at the end. I think everyone deserves to not have that simmering resentment that couples can experience when they know that something's not working, but they can't talk about it, they can't express it, and so it builds up over many years until either somebody has an affair or somebody has a health condition and it all explodes.
Okay, brilliant. Thank you. Okay, so how can people get in touch with you?
So you can find me at my website, which is lucyrowett.com. I'm also on Facebook, which is Lucy Rowett's Juice and Jasmine. I'm on Twitter, Juice and Jasmine, and I'm on Instagram.
Brilliant. So all of that was Juice and Jasmine. That's
That was the name of my old website, which I started blogging from. I've now migrated to lucyrowett.com, but seeing as I get a lot of traffic from my old website, I thought I'd just keep those handles.
That makes sense. Yeah. Brilliant. Lucy, it's been fantastic meeting you. Thanks very much. And hopefully we'll speak again soon.
Thank you.
All right, take care.